line there, especially in days of turmoil and days of confusion around here. You can believe to see the goodness of the Lord. And that is a wonderful psalm that's found in there. And that song is found from a psalm. Let's hear Psalms 119. It's, as we told you last week, we're going to go, and the plan right now is to do one section at a time. And there's over 20 sections that are found in here, 8 verses each. It makes an acrostic. Sometime we'll look at the different meanings for all of them, maybe in one wrapped up message. But I wanted to get into last week's, and I also want to jump into this week's too, and really looking forward to what God's going to do tonight. Cleanse His Way is the title of the message. Cleanse His Way. You know, it's being clean is a good thing. And if you have a cleaning agent, it will help things if you use it. For instance, if you, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm a little bit of a messy eater. I'll get a spot on my shirt or something like that. And I know there inside that laundry room, inside the cabinet, there's a little hot spot, whatever, Clorox, whatever you're supposed to spray on that. You wait 10 or 15 minutes. Cleans it, helps it clean it inside the wash machine. It's there. It's able to be used, and it's effective. It's not effective if you don't use it. Sometimes when the spot's still there, my wife will ask me, hey, did you use the cleaner? And because if you don't use the cleaner, it usually isn't going to work the way it's supposed to. Here tonight, there's a question that is asked in verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And I mean, that is just a fabulous question, because David, in the first part, verses 1 through 8, he observed. He observed the people that were blessed. He observed how God worked and how God moved. He observed all those things that were happening. It gave him desire to want to be like that, to be happy, to be blessed. And then he made that commitment that we looked at last week. But even as he begins this second group of verses, that's the first question that comes up. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse away? I mean, it's a noble gesture. I want to be clean, and it's interesting. First, you think about it. If you think, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse, you get the idea. If he needs to have him cleansed, there's some dirtiness there. There's some spoiling that's there. There's a problem that's there. There's something that needs to change. There's something that needs to be cleaned up. And that's what David's saying. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? He's looking in verses 1 through 8. He sees the blessed. He sees those that are undefiled, like it talks about in verse number 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. And David says, like, how in the world can I get there? How can I be that way as a young man? As I mentioned to you, Psalms 119, many of the commentators believe that it was written as a young person, was the beginning, as throughout his lifetime towards the end. And I mentioned, I think it's David. So that's why we're going to look at it. But David's saying, now, okay, I need to stay clean. How's that going to happen? Now, it's a challenge for any of us. And that's why he uses the word young man. Because young people even have sometimes a greater challenge than older people. It's hard enough for me to keep my ways clean. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? It's hard enough to make sure my way is clean and my way is right. And this is the attraction there. There's a young person that's there that doesn't have the same knowledge, has not learned as much as the Bible, has not gone through all those things. And David is saying this, I believe, as a young person, saying, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And it's the idea that, hey, look, I want to stay clean. There's a need for this cleaning. A young person tells them to flee youthful lust. They're young. They're full of passion. Many times they don't want any type of rules, or they listen to rules that are keeping them the wrong way. And I see that so many times when I come and I look at young people, sometimes between the ages of 20 and 30, and they're looking at things and figuring out things. And I hear some of the things that they're saying is that they're not believing truth. Some of the things that they're buying into, some of the things they're not listening to, it's not a clean way. It does make sense in a fleshly side. It does make understanding, because the Bible, sometimes if you don't want to do what's right, you can find ways around what the Word of God says. You can manipulate it. But this young man is saying he wants to choose to live a clean life. There are so many things that are defiling to anybody, but especially a young person. And like I said, if you have no problem keeping your way right and your way clean, then great. Praise the Lord. You've reached it. I know that there's always a struggle there. Got to do what's right. Got to keep on working on it. Now, put that into the mind of a young person that has so many different temptations and so many different things that are going on in their world and so many different things that they have to face. And they have all these desires. They have all these dreams. They have all these things. So wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Where is there any hope for these young people? They have these youthful lusts, and they have these passions, and they have these desires. And the psalmist says, there is a way to do it. There's no nobler cause than a young person say, I just want to be right. I just want to do what's right. And I've heard them say that before. But there's a verse here that says, and here's the answer. And he begins to give the answer here, and I think it kind of breaks it down as I go through verses 9 through 16. By taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. By taking heed. It's the idea that they give respect to it. They observe it. They regard it. They preserve it in their mind. And that's when he says here, by taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. It's God's word. It's not just ours. And once again, if we're speaking the word of God, that's one thing. But I know there's people who love to give advice and love to do this and love to do that. And David here, I'm sure, has lots of different counselors and lots of different people he's facing against. And he's asking this question, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? And he learned this over the years is by taking heed, by observing the word of God. God's word, and the amazing thing is, God's word has the power to keep us clean. This is the answer, is by taking heed, therefore, according to thy word. If you want your ways cleansed, if you want to keep your ways clean, there's the answer. That's it right there. There is a cleaning agent that's there. There is something that can help you. And when we tell the young people out there today, you need to stay clean. You need to try to stay holy. You need to, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. You've got lots of challenges that you're facing. But thankfully, it's truth. It's powerful. There is a way to stay clean. It says it right here, by taking heed according to thy word. But taking heed means that you're going to have to make God your rule. You're going to have to acquaint yourself with God's word. You're going to have to resolve to conform yourself to God's word. The cleansing of the young man is more important than the word of God is more important than what any law says, more important than what any morals of, when I was reading a quote, I think it was Matthew Henry, he says that will do the more for the cleansing of a young man than the laws of princes and morals of philosophers. And, we don't have lots of philosophers nowadays. We'll actually have a lot of people that use blogs and all these other things that gives their opinions out there. And the reality is the one thing that's left out of the Bible is your opinion. It's not in there. I read that the other day. I thought that was good. It's not your opinion's in there. My opinion's not in there. It's God's way. And if we really want the ability to keep ourselves clean, we're going to have to take heed to his word. We're going to have to lift it up. We're going to have to be carefully applying it to the rules of our life. We're going to have to make use of it. It's something that I'm going to have to examine my way. That's what he's saying. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, the way he's headed, the path he's on. How am I ever going to get that clean? How am I ever going to get that right? It's because I had to take it according to his word. And I met so many of us and so many believers and Christians that sit in church, young and old, that struggle with certain things because they do not want to take heed according to God's word in certain topics or certain things that are hard, certain things that are difficult, certain things that does not make sense to us, certain things maybe about giving or about serving or about forgiving. There are so many different things. But he says, if you want to keep your way clean, if you want to be headed in the right path, if you want to be going the right way, you must examine your thoughts and your intents, not based off your knowledge, not based off your experience, but based off of God's word. That's what David's sitting here saying. I saw in verses 1, 2, 3, and 4 how those guys were blessed, and I want that for my life. There was a desire. Then he came to the spot, and he says, I'm going to make it happen. There's a commitment. There's a discipline that was there. And he come in verse number 9. How does that happen? It's by taking heed to God's word. Problem is, most people don't like to live by rules. Or they like to live by the wrong rules. But if we're going to ponder the path that our feet are taking, we must let the scripture rule in our hearts and lives. It cannot only be wishful thinking. It's got to be right. And if it's not the scripture, then it's not right. Look what it says in verse number 10. And that's what we're probably going to do tonight, is go down and do it step by step instead of looking. Verse number 10, it even goes a little farther. Verse number 9, it gives that answer. I got to take heed according to thy word. Verse number 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Here, if you go up to verse number 2, and many times as you see as it goes through the different 8 verses at a time, you'll see how they correlate and even the different verses. But verse number 2 says, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart." Verse number 10 saying, "I've sought him with my whole heart." So why is that important? Because there are so many times different parts of our lives that are not completely seeking after God. There are certain things that, hey, I'm good. I want to be here on Sundays. I'm even here on Wednesday night. I'm here, Pastor. I'm zoned in. I'm ready. You know, what does the Word of God have for me tonight? But then we want to take and have certain parts of our heart to be, hey, I want to do this my way. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a sport. Maybe it's a relationship. I want this section of my heart to be closed up in a room that, God, you're not allowed into. And David's saying here that if we'll learn and if we truly want to take heed according to his word, that means that we need to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul. That's by taking heed. So let's open up those doors and let's look inside those compartments. Let's look at those parts of our heart that we're not seeking with him. Maybe there's some jealousy there. Maybe there's some greed that's there. Maybe there's some anger that's in there. And David's saying, he says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. And then he says, oh, let me not wander from thine commandments. He's saying, I don't want to leave. I see in verses 1, 2, and 3, those that are blessed and those that are happy and those that get God's blessings in their life. And I understand that I need to take heed to his word. But he's saying, God, I need you to teach me. Don't let me wander from your way, because I know your way is the best way. I know your way is the way I want to go. I know your way is the way I want to head. And the reality is, when we don't seek him with our whole heart, we're not going to be going in the right direction. Pastor, is it really that big of a deal if I'm just off a foot? Well, you think about it. If you're trying to get from one point to another point, that's a mile away, and you're walking straight. If you just take one foot off to the side, you're going to end up in a completely different spot because you're facing a completely different way. Because now instead of going straight, you're headed that direction. And what David is saying here, he says, look, I want to be right. God, teach me your ways. Don't let me wander. It's so easy to wander. It's so easy to get off the path. It's so easy to have parts of my heart zoned in this area that I don't give God any consideration when it comes to my entertainment. Or I don't give God any consideration when it comes to this section of my life. And David is saying, I need to seek after you with my whole heart. I've sought, and that's what he's saying. He says, I've done what I think I can. He says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. In my mind, everything that is in me, I am seeking after you. Please don't let me wander, because wandering gets us in trouble. And in verse number 11, you have another famous verse. Kind of, it correlates. It goes down. He says, wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? And then he says, I've sought with thee my whole heart. He says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. In verse number 11, thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is great verses for us. There's truth that's found here. How come it doesn't work for us? How come it seems like I still sin? How come I still struggle? It says right there, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And the point is, David's saying, I've taken your word, I've hid it in my heart. In verse number 10, he puts God as in a preeminence in the idea he's seeking after him. And he puts God's word in a place of preeminence. It's in his heart. His goal is that he will not sin against God. He places the truth of his heart near God, places the truth of God's word near his heart. So he will not, and he says, that I might not sin against thee. I mentioned this last week, and it's sad to say, I could tell you stories about some of the kids that memorized more verses than anybody else did. And they did very, very bad things outside of church. It's because they didn't put God's word in their heart. Put God's word in their mind, which is a good thing to do. We should get kids to memorize. But God's not trying to capture your mind. He's trying to capture your heart. It's not just a knowledge that's there. Sometimes people joke with me as they're leaving, and they say, "Hey, preacher, you stepped on my toes today. And had one person say, "Hey, I know how people always tell you you stepped on my toes, but in all reality, you stepped on my heart today." And the idea, and that's what he says, you shouldn't be aiming for people's toes. You should be aiming for people's hearts. And I thought, well, I get what you're saying. And that's the truth. That's what the word is saying here. If you have God's word in your life, it needs to be in your heart. Not just a mental thing. Because I've seen so many young people that have sharper minds, and we challenge them. We maybe give them prizes, let them earn points for saying verses. And it's great to get the word of God in there. But if it's just up here, but it's not in here, it's not going to do much difference. Does that mean we should stop encouraging people to memorize? Of course not. It means that we should make sure there's application there. We should make it personal. We should make it something that they understand. Thy word have I hidden in my heart. That this is something that's in my heart. This is something that's meaningful for me. This is something I'm holding close to me. Because we talk about things that occupy our hearts all the time. They have my heart. They have my interest. They have my desire. I hear people say about their kids all the time, "Man, they got my heart." Grandkids, oh, they've got my heart. Great grandkids, they got my heart. What, that means that they're close. They're there. There's something I think about. There's something that I don't want to let go. There's something that I want to be on my mind, something I want to be in my life, something that I want to constantly be thinking about. And then he says, "That I might not sin against thee." And then look what it says in verse number 12. "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." So we come to the point where he's saying we need to take heed to God's word. We're doing that with our whole heart. We're not just placing God's word into our life and our mind. We're putting it in our heart, a special place. And as I do these things, I recognize who God is, and I am praising the Lord. That's what that word blessed means there. Most of the time when you think of blessed in the book of Psalms, you think of happy, but it's referring to an adoration there, kneeling down to God. He's praising me, praising God and saying, "God, you are worthy, you are great of all things. Now please teach me thy statutes. I want to know your way. I have to know it. I don't want to know my own way. I don't want to figure out for myself. I want to you, Lord, to teach me." And then verse 13, you come around and you see that the student becomes a teacher. "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." With my lips I have declared all the judgments of my mouth. It's going to come out naturally. It's going to flow out naturally. The word of God even says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh." If you have put God's word into your heart and it's close to you and it means something about you, then guess what? It's going to come out. I don't know about you, but a lot of people have been asking me how my sons are doing. They're close to my heart. I love talking about it. I love talking about what they've done, different things like that. You ever been around somebody who talks about their kids or their grandkids all the time, or their great-grandkids? And sometimes you're like, "I already heard that story. I already heard that story." Is that all you can talk about? Why is that? It's because it's close to their heart. And what David is saying here, the Lord has taught them my statutes. Now, because it's close to my heart, it's coming out. There are some people in this room that I know that are passionate about certain things. There are some people I know that are passionate about what's going on with the vaccines and passionate about what's going on with COVID, and some on one side and some on the other side. I know how they feel because it's something that means something to them. And that's what David is saying. God's word became so prevalent, became so close to me. It was something I hid in my heart and it stayed right there. All I could do was to declare. It says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." My lips. This is what he says, "With my lips." He's saying, I said it. He teaches others the things that God taught him. What we learn in secret from God by meditating, by hiding God's words in our heart, is what should come flowing out. The problem is that's not what we usually teach. We teach our opinions. We teach how we feel about certain things and never met with God the whole week long. This is what I think you should do. This is what's wrong. And this is what's... And it's sort of like when David went to Saul and David was right with God and David wants to fight Goliath and Saul is trying to give him advice. David here is saying, I put God's word in my heart and it soaked up so much in me that it came out. And don't get me wrong, I know there's safety in the multitude of counselors. And sometimes it's kind of odd. Some people feel this way and some people feel that way. But when you let the Word of God just fill you, it's going to come out naturally. And that's what I want to encourage you tonight. Think about it. 2 Timothy 2:2, it says, "And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." What do you mean? It means that there's some evil things that are coming out of your mouth. You know what? You haven't put God's word as a priority in your life. Or you haven't sought him with your whole heart. There's a portion of you. You might got a lot of things figured out and you're headed the right direction, a lot of things, but there's still a section that's saying, I'm not willing to give that up. I'm not willing to seek after God's word and see what God's word says about that. And that's when he's coming across. He says, "With my lips I have declared unto you." And he doesn't just say, "I tell people." He says he declares it, all the judgments of thy mouth. And he says, "My lips talk about God's mouth." Things you learn in private, the things you learn as you muse over the Word of God and you meditate on the Word of God and the things that God speaks to your heart as you study and you learn and you listen, you can see that overflowing. Sometimes there's sermons in my life that I know God's spoken my heart about and I know that that's what God wanted me to speak about and it came so easy and so free-flowing because it's exactly what God had given me. And then there's other times when it's a chore. It's a hard thing that I'm kind of working through because maybe I didn't put enough time or enough effort, or maybe I didn't seek God's will exactly with it, it's still the Word of God. It's still preaching. But I'm telling you, when things are right, things can flow out. I remember Clarence Sexton one time. I went to their school of prophets or whatever they call their pastor's college a couple of times. And he said, "You should know exactly what God wants you to preach, even if somebody calls you from the call audience." And he says, that's how close you should be with God. You should be walking with him. That God would give you the words to say at that moment in time. Now, that is no reason to neglect the Word of God, because the Bible says, study to show thyself approved. That I don't think you should. And there are some people who just walk up here and they open up the Bible and they put their finger down. That's where they start preaching at, which I think would be kind of challenging. But, that is something that some people do. And I'm not talking about neglecting your responsibilities, but you should be walking with the Lord and you should be able to speak just from the overflow. My cup runneth over. What does that mean? That I am so filled with the Word of God that God has impressed me with so many things in it that my cup is running over. My lips speak about what his lips have told me. But we don't always see that very often. That's because in verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? It's because we have to learn to take heed according to his words. Verse 14, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. It's kind of interesting. He's cheerful. He's glad. He's not saying, I will rejoice. He's saying, I have rejoiced. I've tried it. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I believe to see the goodness of God. I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm rejoicing in your ways because this is what you've done for me. If David did write it, he knew what it was to have riches. It says, as much in all riches. You know, there's nothing wrong with having nice things. And there is some rejoicing when God provides something for you and there's great riches there and he provides an answer for prayer. Boy, that's a time for shouting. That's a time for excitement. But David is saying, I rejoice just as much when God just shows me which way I'm supposed to go as I do when I receive something amazing. Because I know that I'm on that pathway. I know that I'm on that way. And because of that, it makes me rejoice. The way that God will take us. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all the riches. And in verse 15, it's starting to close down for this section. It says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I think this is a key that is what I think most of us miss in our lives. I think probably most people in this room read their Bibles every day. I think probably most people in this room have some sort of prayer time every day. I think they probably even listen to godly Christian music for the most part. I don't think there's a lot of, maybe there's some challenges in a few people's lives, but this is the key that I think that stops us from making the connection of having our ways cleansed by not sinning against God, It is, I will meditate in thy precepts. Meditating is something that is talking about musing. It's talking about talking out loud. Have you ever discussed the scripture with yourself? Have you ever discussed it with God? Okay, wherewithal, what in the world does that word mean? Does a young man, okay, it's not talking about an old person, the challenge it is for a young person. We know it's a challenge for an old person, but boy, the challenge for a young man to cleanse his ways. So it says if it's cleaning, that means there must be something that is dirty, something that needs to be cleaned up. And it's not talking about sin here, it's talking about his ways. So he's going his certain way. And what does it mean by way? The direction he's heading. So how does a young man get off of that direction when they're passionate and no one can talk to them? And how does it happen? And then it says, by taking heed. Okay, what does that word heed mean? According to thy word. And it's, what you do is when you begin to look at a scripture and you begin to break it down and you begin to consider what each word means and you look up things and you get a Strong's concordance or a commentary that maybe you can that you can trust. And I think that even learning something, just a dictionary, can help us understand what God's word is saying. And the Holy Spirit teaches us those things. But how often do we truly meditate on God's word? I think that's where the connection is lots of times missing, because the word of God doesn't become, God doesn't speak to us as much when we don't take time to consider it. Because if you're looking what it says in verse number 18, and I love the verse number 18, open thou mine eyes that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And we're going to look at that next week in that next section. But if we're asking God, speak to me, teach me thy statutes, don't let me wander, all those different things, make it personal. Thy word have I hid in my heart, not just my mind, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's because it's become so prevalent and become so real. The things that thy lips have taught me are the things I want to teach the world. And then you come to this spot, look at verse 16. I think they go together. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. A person who is meditating is a person who will delight. A person who is meditating is a person who will delight. He who has an inward delight in anything will not long withdraw his mind from it. I hate using too many personal examples because people think you're talking about your family all the time, but I've thought more about my boys in the last month when neither one of them been here than I do when they're always living with me, because I see them. And, you know, if it's something that is close and personal to me, my heart, it's not going to be out of my mind for long. And if the word of God is something that I take inward delight in, it's not going to be long from my mind. Now, is meditation easy? No, it is a task. Because the Bible knows that in thy law do I meditate day and night, that there's a lot of great promises with that. It is a task sometimes to take the time to think about it and to have our mind focused on it. And sometimes it's the most challenging thing to free your mind of everything else, to be able to open up God's word. Not only will we talk to others about them, we will meditate on what's being said in the word. We will digest it. And it takes pain sometimes to digest it. It takes pain to consider those sometimes. The devil's fighting it. He doesn't want you to figure out and unlock the keys, because that's where the keys of the scriptures are unlocked many times, is when we are willing to meditate on it. And it's something he says, I will meditate. And then he says at the end, in verse number 15, and have respect unto thy ways. He says, I'm going to meditate on them, and then I'm going to regard them with pleasure. That's what respect means. I'm going to regard them, and the delight is with pleasure. How is it that we have so many people today that think God's words are grievous? God's commandments are grievous. How come we have a generation that's walking away that's saying, I don't understand why I can't drink. I don't understand why I can't be immoral. I don't understand why I had to listen to my parents. I don't understand why this, why that, why I can't do those things, why God's words becomes grievous. I think it's because we haven't taught them to ingest the word of God. So how can you do that? By letting them see it through you. By letting God's word make a difference in your life so you can teach them the things that God taught you in private. I know it's going through some of your minds. You're like, Pastor, you're crazy. I'm not as smart as you are. Be honest with you, are. I'm not the brightest guy in the world. I've told you that before. Some of you guys say, oh, no. No, it's the deep thinking, really quick thinking, remembering things really easy. Those are not things that I'm super sharp at. I'll be honest with you. Anything that I learn is the things that God teaches me. And if I can impress those things upon the next generation or upon those that are listening, it's because I've taken time to meditate and to commune with God, to muse over the scriptures, to talk to God, talk to oneself. And when you get those things from the Lord, those are times when the commandments are not grievous. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." The word of God should not be grievous to us. And that's when he comes and finishes up, "I will delight myself in thy statutes." He comes to this moment. He's gone through all these things. I understand what it takes to cleanse my ways. I'm doing it with my whole heart. I've not only done it with my whole heart, I've taken the word of God. I put it close to my heart. I've praised you. I've taught you the things you have taught me. I have rejoiced in these things. I have meditated in these things. And now he's saying, after I've seen and done all these things, I don't look at it as grievous. I don't look at it as something I have to do. I don't have to drag myself to the scriptures. I delight in them. And then he says at the end, he says, "I will not forget thy word." Now, I'm not going to act like I'm super spiritual and that every morning I get up, I get to read my Bible. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes you're busy. Sometimes you have a lot of things you got to do and you know you want to do it. But I want to encourage you today. Don't just settle for reading some verses. Take your time to take, even if it's just one verse a day, and let God speak to your heart about it. I told you last week, one of the things that I'm doing, and I would challenge you to do it, is I know there's 8 verses in each section, but take one verse a day. Whether it's the verses you heard tonight, and you want to go over the things that you remember to have spoke tonight, or the verses for next week, and take one verse a day and take it with you. And as we're going through this for the number 20 so many weeks, and we look at that, you have that verse. I'm not saying you have to memorize it. I think it'd be great if you could memorize the whole chapter and be able to quote it. I mean, maybe you'll get a blue ribbon. But that's not what we're looking for. We're looking for the word of God to get inside of you, put it up here by your heart, and you keep it close to you, and it makes a difference. So that sounds kind of goofy. Did you know Matthew Henry, his dad, taught him and his whole family, you got to take one verse, Psalms 119, every single day. And he did that for years. And he has a great commentary about how to love the Word of God and how much he loved the Word of God. It's because he took a verse a day as a child. He made his family, "I want you to take one verse out, Psalms 119, a day, and take it with you." Now, did it work for him? I think it worked for him. Could it work for you? I think that taking any verse while you're reading through things and letting it impact you, letting his words speak to you so you can speak your words to someone else, is something you can delight yourself in. And it wasn't just Matthew Henry that had done that. There's a number of people that have even put Psalms 119 to memory. And you're going to say, "Well, Pastor, a lot of the things are saying the same things over and over." I know. Isn't it great? You say, "Why do I have to hear it?" God wrote in his word more than once. Don't we want to listen to it? He is trying to impress upon our minds the value of the word of God. And I know that many of us say, "I would love to just be right. I would love to be clean. I would love to be holy. I would love to go in his way. I'd love to do those things." His word doesn't fail. It's how are we hiding his word? Is it in our heart? "Wherewithal shall that young man cleanse his ways?" Are we taking heed to it? Are we seeking him with all our heart? Are we praising him and worshiping him? Are we teaching him the things he teaches us? I love that quote about what God teaches you in secret. That is what you should tell to the public. What God has been working on your heart about. And it's a challenge because sometimes we don't dig enough for God to speak to us, so we don't have anything to say. So when we don't have anything to say, we revert back to our own thinking. And that gets us in trouble because it's not always spirit-led. I want to encourage you tonight. Give consideration about how to cleanse your way. He says it's by taking heed. Seek him with your whole heart. Take that word of God. Put it up there special. And then let him teach you so you can teach others. Worship him. Meditate in the delight. The cleaning agent is there. And it can be used. Just like it sits up in that laundry room closet. Cabinet. It's sitting there. But if you don't spray it on there, it's not going to help anything. The word of God is there to help clean you up or your way up. But if you don't use it, that's not going to help anything. Let's pray.